Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
This morning, we're going to continue our series. If you've been able to join us, we've been working through a series on seeking health and how the Lord desires to work health into our lives. And the Apostle John wrote in his third letter, and it's preserved in the Word of God this way, and it says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." That's truly my prayer for you. Pray that you would walk in health, that you would do well, and that your soul would prosper in the Lord as we dedicate ourselves. But truly, the only way to walk in health is to be willing to allow God to deal with the unhealthy aspects of our lives. And we all have unhealthy stuff, so there's definitely no finger pointing. But just in this series where the Lord has placed certain areas and aspects of our lives that he longs to address in each and every one of us and longs to bring us into healing. And so we want to be willing and open that the Lord would speak to us. Throughout January, we looked at how God desires for us to seek health in our prayer life, that we would have a consistent prayer life every single day, seeking the Lord on our own, dedicated time praying, that he longs for us to have health in our time in reading the Word of God, that it wouldn't be just on Sundays that you open up the Bible or open up your iPhone or whatever it may be, but that truly each and every day you learn what it means to get into the Word of God. You learn what it means to understand who God is and who he desires to be in your life, learning how to pray the Word of God, developing health in our lives in that way. And last week we talked about allowing God to develop health in the area of self-control, that God desires for us to be a people of self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so self-control, as we give our bodies and our lives over, he says that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing and acceptable to the Father. And that's our true act of worship. And so that means that we have a desire, we choose to walk in self-control in every aspect of our lives. We don't allow our bodies to tell us what it wants and what to do, but we tell our bodies, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to live, and you will not have control over me. I submit myself to the Father, and Lord, you work through me. And so another aspect of this health in the aspect of self-control is our resources, our finances, our talents, and our abilities. Learning how to bring that to the Father and allow God to work in and through our finances, work in and through our talents and our abilities. Allow God to bring self-control to that area, because if we don't have self-control, if we don't have health in that area, it will limit God's ability, not his ability to work, but his ability to work through us and to work in our lives. And so we want to dedicate everything to the Father, living sacrifice to him. And so we're going to look at a parable this morning that Jesus used to help us understand what God expects for us in our lives and offering our talents and our treasures to the Lord. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, if you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be up there on the screen. Matthew 25, we're going to read verses 14 through 30. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one who with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his money, his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know, an odd parable, right? But it's important before we kind of get into the meat of this is to understand it in the context of what was happening. Jesus was walking along with his disciples and he was talking about what was to come. This was in his final week before he went to the cross. And so he was talking about what was to come and he began talking about future events, not only in their lives, but future events in the end times. And he began telling them, listen, it's important. You know, no one knows because the disciples are like, Lord, when is this going to happen? When is all this stuff that you're talking about going to happen? He's like, well, listen, no one knows. Not even, you know, I don't even know. Only the Father knows. And he begins to give another parable about the 10 virgins, that it's important for us to always be ready. It's important. He talked about the 5 virgins who were ready and the 5 who weren't ready. If you haven't ever heard that parable, I encourage you to go and read it. And so he ends it with that the 5 who weren't ready were ended up being left behind and they were left separated from the party. And but then it comes to this whole idea of then what does it mean to be ready? What does it mean to be ready? If we're called to be ready, what does it mean to be ready? And though the disciples didn't answer that question, I'm sure they had it in their heart because that's when Jesus began to tell this parable that we have just read about the master with a servant. And so he's telling them, listen, I'm going to go away and I'll be gone for a long time, but it's your job to be ready. And here's what ready looks like. And he begins to talk about these this money that this master has left with his servants, which was very typical during this time. It wasn't like some kind of odd story that he was giving. In some versions, you'll see talents used, and it's not the English word of talent, like you can play the flute or something like that. It's not that kind of talent. Talent was a weight. And so during this time, a talent was about 80 pounds, and it was a weight of metal. So depending on what it was that they were weighing, it would have a greater worth. So if it was copper, that talent of copper wouldn't be worth as much as a talent or the weight of gold. And so he says that he gives 5 bags or 5 talents to this one servant, which would have been approximately 180,000 days' wages, right? What does that translate to? For us, it would be about $23 million. Basically, he handed his servant and said, here, go do something with it. And then he gives the other a different one, and he gives the other a different one, right? And so it begins to translate into all of that. It was incredibly expensive. In fact, that was just 1 talent. So you multiply that times 5 for that one that had the 5 talents, and that's over $1 billion, or right at $1 billion, I think, somewhere in there. See? I don't know. 100 million, whatever it is. And so it was a lot of money, right? See, I don't even know how much it is. It was a lot that he would have entrusted to him. But the expectation was when he gave it to them, it wasn't like, hey, can you hang on to this? I'm going to use you as a bank. And can you just hang on to it and keep it safe and secure? And when I come back, you can give it back to me. That wasn't the expectation. His expectation when he gave them that money, when he gave them those things, is for them to then take it and do something with it. His expectation was that they would put it to work, that they would trade it, that they would use their abilities, they would use their experience, and they would trade it in and allow it to increase. And so it's the same with us. God has entrusted us, each and every one of us. There's not a one of us that he has not entrusted with something. He's entrusted each of us with finances. He's entrusted each of us with time. You know, we may have different abilities, but we all have time. And what we do with it is important. He's entrusted each of us with talents and abilities. He's entrusted each of us with resources, and he expects for us to put it to use. He expects for us to be good stewards of what he's given us. And a good steward, what is a good steward? Good steward is someone who manages the property or affairs for someone else. All that we have within us, all that God has given us, is not really ours. I know it's within our personality, it's within our body, your finances, your money is in your bank account, totally get it, your time is yours, but really it's not. Everything that we have is a gift from the Lord. Don't think that your money is because you have worked for it. You have worked for it, but really it's because the Lord has blessed you and he has entrusted that to you. Don't think your talents are something that you were just like magically appeared. No, the Lord placed those. He knit those within you. And so he has entrusted that to us that we would manage it well. We would manage what he's given us, our resources, our talents, our abilities, that we would manage it well. So how do we manage what he's given us? How do we manage the resources that God has given us? You know, financially speaking, that means that we learn to have self-control. I know it's kind of that same theme, right? When we begin to manage our resources and our finances well, we have self-control. We learn that it's important to give to the Lord. We learn to manage what he's given us. It's so important, guys. It's so, so important. And I don't tell you this just as your pastor. I don't tell you this. I've heard people say sometimes, well, the pastor only wants some money, and so that's why they talk about it. No, it's that I want you to learn how to walk in obedience before the Lord, because Scripture calls us to be generous. Scripture calls to give tithes and offerings to the Lord. Scripture calls for us to take care of others. And if you learn that, you will learn to walk in obedience in every aspect of your life, because it's not just about here. I want to see you learn and walk in obedience here, but it's really because you're not going to stay here forever. At some point, the Lord's going to take you somewhere else. And I want you to be able to walk in obedience wherever God would send you. I want you to be able to walk in obedience and do what God's called you to do, no matter what it is or what he tells you to do. And so we learn to manage what God's given us by first giving to him through tithes, through offerings, through missions, giving first to God, before we pay bills. Giving first to God before we buy anything. Giving first to God before we go grocery shopping. Giving first to God before we fill up the car with gas or whatever it may be. We learn that this is a priority, God. You have given me what I have, and it is yours. So out of trusting you, I'm going to give you what's on the top before I start living in it. Giving to the Lord. And even Miriam, she didn't know I was going to be reading this verse today. But in Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. The prophet Malachi was being used by God to address the Israelites. And the issue that they were having giving to the Lord, don't think this is a new issue. Don't think it's a struggle that just came on the scene for anyone when it comes to finances. It's not. It's always been there. But the Israelites had become stingy, and they didn't really fully trust God. And so they held back in giving to him. They didn't see the value in giving tithes and offering. And so the Lord spoke this to him in Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. What an amazing statement before he begins to address things in our lives. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. The Lord said, listen, guys, I know that you're struggling in this area of provision, but it's because you're robbing me. It's because you're living in this stinginess, because you're living in a place of not trust. Lord saying, listen, I haven't changed. I'm still who I said I would be. I am still the faithful, promise-keeping one. I have not changed, but you're experiencing this difficulty in your life. You never seem to have enough. You never have enough provision. You can't do anything in this area. You can't step out in trust and faith because you're not allowing me to work through your finances. Guys, finances is a big deal. It's a big deal in our lives. It can either be a vehicle for God to work through, or it can keep us bound and trapped for a really long time. And so Lord's saying, listen, here's what I'm telling you. Test me. God was throwing it out and saying, listen, try me. Try me. Try me out and see if I don't work through your life. Test me. He was saying, do you trust me? Step out and trust me. Step out and trust me. Trust me with your finances. Trust me by giving out of what you don't think you have. Trust me in giving that way and watch how I help you work through the rest of it. He's saying, listen, after that, if you will trust me that I can take care of you, if you will trust me. Guys, I've heard it said so many times that God can do more with the 90% after we tithe than we could ever do with 100%. When we learn to live in this place of trust, God, what I have is not mine. God, what you've given me is not mine. It is yours. It's only on loan to me. So I'm not going to hang on tight to it. I'm going to learn to be generous. I'm going to learn to be a giver. I'm going to learn to release what you've given me. And out of that, the Lord will work. When we learn to walk in obedience before God, when we learn to walk before him, God can work in that. There is joy in obedience. There is joy in obedience. God is faithful. When we step out and we begin to trust him, learn to hear his voice, learn to follow after him, it begins to open up doors for us. We don't want to have stingy hearts before the Lord with anything we have because he's not stingy. Oh, man. God is not stingy at all. He's not stingy in his time. He's not stingy in his provision. He's not stingy in any way. Guys, there is something that, you know, as we're preparing, we're going to be going for 6 months for itineration this year. And I remember looking at, you know, as missionaries, we sell everything we own, most of it. We have a couple of beds and that's about it, but we sell everything we own. And so going back to the States and looking at the cost of vehicles, I mean, you know very well, right? Whenever you PCS and the changes and expenses. And I remember thinking, Lord, how in the world are we ever going to afford a used car right now? Because Biden nation or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Inflation nation, whatever it may be. That was totally not a political statement, but it was. Anyways, and so, you know, whatever the state of the world is right now, I knew it was expensive. And I didn't even think to ask that the Lord would give us a car. Just didn't even think about it. Too big on my faith scale, apparently. And I got this message from another missionary, and they're saying, like, well, listen, we had a car, and the one that's using it now, they don't need it. Can we give it to you? I just sat there thinking, Lord, you're so good. You're so faithful to take care of the things that we don't even pray about because that's who he is. That's who he is. He said, listen, I can take care of your needs if you'll just trust me. But if you try and handle it all yourself, man, do we get ourselves in some kind of mess, right? And so he's saying, test me and prove that he's faithful. Prove that he's faithful. Learn to tithe. Then learn to go above and beyond that, guys. Challenge yourself. God, I'm going to try and outgive God, which is impossible, but have that kind of heart, the generous giver. Each month we highlight missions on the second Sunday of the month. The next Sunday we're going to be highlighting missions. And that's not just because we're missionaries, but because it's the heart of the Father is to reach the lost and do everything that we can here in sharing the gospel and helping others go into other places to share the gospel. And so we as a church, meaning you who give, we support 11 missionaries. And so it's our heart is that we would be able to give more and more and more. But I want to challenge you, once you learn to tithe, so get tithing down, then learn to go above and beyond. If you are already tithing, allow God to speak to you how you can give to missions. When we first began giving to missions, it was one missionary at $25. And for us, that was huge. It was huge because we were working ourselves out of debt. The Lord was working us out of debt. We had gotten into some massive debt just because we wanted all the things, right? And we were trying to get that back under control, and we realized that giving and tithes was important. And then the Lord began to challenge us to step out and do even more. And so we started $25 a month giving to missions and just giving it to the Lord. God, would you help us to give more and more to where now, and I don't say this, hear my heart, I don't say this as a bragging thing. I say this because I want to give more. God's been so faithful. And so we're at the point where we're giving like 30% of our income back to the Lord, and he's been faithful. Guys, God is more faithful with the 70% that we retain. And I still sit there looking at it going, how much more? God, we could give more. We could do more. We could trust you more. And so my encouragement to you is allow God to work in that area of your life. Allow God to work in the financial area. Give to God through tithes. Give to God through offering. Then give to God through missions. Allow God to stretch you in that area. Test him and see that he won't do it. God is faithful, and once you learn that, then ask God to help you be good with the remaining portion. Because it's no good if we are good with the first part, and then the rest, it's like, party, right? Because in that moment, we're not really setting ourselves up for allowing God to flow through us. We're not being good stewards of what he's given us. It's learning how to budget, learning how to plan, learning how to save, and even scripture talks about it. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Well, that's so encouraging. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Learn to how to save. Learn how to budget what God's given you. Give in tithes, give in offering, give in missions, and then learn, allow God to teach you what to do with the remaining portion. You all have so many resources at your fingertips between Financial Peace University on Base and all these different resources. That learn to allow God to work in that area of your life through self-control. Learn how to save. Saving is not a sign of distrust in the Lord. It's a sign of I'm going to be prepared. And so when God tells me to give, I have it. When God needs me to do something, I have it. What if the Lord called you to go somewhere or do something and you're so much in debt that you can't be obedient, that you've spent everything because of self-control and you have nothing to do it? We want to allow ourselves to be in a place of health. So when the Lord says, go, yes, sir. When the Lord says, give, yes, sir. I willingly and I gratefully and I joyfully give back to the Lord. And that's what this master, as he gave this money to his servants, there was an expectation that they were going to put it to work. And the same is for us. He expects us to put to work what he's given us. You also notice that the master didn't give each person the same amount to put to work. One received five, one received two, one received one. And how did the master decide who received what? Verse 15 says it was based upon their abilities. The one who received five, obviously through experience, had proven himself faithful that he could handle five, that he could handle that much money and do well with it. Whereas the one, maybe there wasn't any experience at all, so that's why he was just given one. God has given you what you have is because that's what you need. Where you're at, don't look at everybody else. Well, they have all these talents and I don't have that. And they have this money and I don't have it. No, allow God to work in what you have. Because what you have is what you're able to do. What you have, what God's given you, is what God wants to work in you. Right? Because when we learn to walk in faithfulness and obedience with what he's given us, the master said, listen, you've been good with this. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been good with five. Now I'm going to give you more. See, it wasn't like a recliner was his reward. Well done, good and faithful service. Go hang out in the coffee break room. Just put your feet up and just relax. No, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with this. Now I'm going to give you even more to be faithful with. And so the Lord will entrust us with what we are faithful with now. So don't look at everybody else, but say, God, what I have now, teach me to be faithful with it. Teach me to be faithful with what you've given me. Teach me to be faithful in what I have and see how I can faithfully put it to work. And I know I've talked a lot about finances, but that's not the only area that the Lord wants to work in. He does want to work through your abilities. He does want to work through your time. He wants to work through your abilities that you have. God has given you all of these different giftings and abilities, and I just look out over you and I see all these different talents. I see all these abilities that God has placed within you, and he longs to work through that. He wants us to offer our whole bodies as a living sacrifice. That includes our talents and our abilities. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." There's that steward word again, right? He has entrusted to us our talents and our abilities so that he can work in them and through them. They have been trusted to us, and he expects us to use them. He doesn't expect us to sit on them. He expects us to use them to glorify him and to bring people into his kingdom. So what are the talents you have? What talent do you have? What talent do you have? We all have talents. Some of you are amazing speakers, and speak. Allow God to use that. Devote it to the kingdom of God. Some of you can sing. Well, good. Use it for the kingdom of God. Some of you are artists. Good. Use it for the kingdom of God. Some of you are amazing at serving behind the scenes. Good. Use it for the kingdom of God. Some of you are good at administration. Praise God. Use it for the kingdom of God. Whatever talent, whatever ability he's given you. Some of you are phenomenal with kids and with youth. Good. Use it for the kingdom of God. Whatever he's given you, whatever he's entrusted to you, whatever he's placed you as a steward over, don't sit on it. Don't sit, because then you not only rob the Lord, you rob yourself and you rob the body of Christ. But if you will allow God to move through it, if you allow God, if you will manage your talents and your abilities, God is able to do that. And not just that, can I just say, yes, give to the Lord your talents and your abilities, but can I encourage you even to take it a step further and hone the gift and the ability that God's given you? If you're a singer, then watch some videos and learn how to sing even better. Learn harmony. Learn how to develop your voice. You know, I love watching Susan as worship, one of the co-worship leaders. And I love hearing her heart. And even just this last Thursday, as we were in worship practice, she's like, I was listening to this podcast, and it was, you know, talking about how to develop, but to help her grow in the area of leading worship. But that's because she has a gift and ability. But if she just doesn't develop it, it's never going to grow. But because her heart is to take this gift and this ability and grow, she wants to learn in that. And because of that, she flourishes all the more, and everybody else around her grows. And then she begins to challenge us, and then we're able to step in further into worship, all because she's taken this gift and this ability that the Lord's given her. And she said, "I'm not only going to commit it to you, but I'm going to allow you to grow it in me. I'm going to commit myself to managing my talent well." If you're an artist, oh man, jealousy in my heart. Not really, I'm praying through that. Well, kind of. But if you are an artist, don't just, you know, sit on it. Watch some videos. You take that craft and that ability and you devote it to the Lord. If you're good at speaking, learn how to develop all the more. If you are good at teaching, if you're good at kids, whatever it may be, if you're good at serving behind the scenes, learn how to develop that ability and that talent even more so that God can use you, right? Don't be like the servant who took the talent and the ability, and because it was lazy, because he was fearful, he dug a hole and hid it so no one could see it, and nothing happened out of it. There was no return. The only thing that came was discipline. The only thing that came was disappointment, because then he had not only not given to the Lord, but he had squashed it so much that he was no longer even following after his master. He wasn't obedient. Know that we would take what God's given us, whether it's our finances, whether it's our time, our resources, our abilities, our talents, and we say, "God, this is all yours. Teach me to manage it well. Teach me to honor you in it. Teach me, God, how I can develop in this ability. God, you've given this to me." And if you don't know what kind of gift you have, then ask the Lord, or come and ask someone that knows you. "Oh, I can see all these giftings that I can help you. I can help you put it to work real quick. We're good at that, right?" And so there are abilities and there are ways that you can allow God to move through you, but don't just sit on that. Grow in it. Develop in it. Allow God to challenge you in that area. Allow God to grow you in that area. Because we want to not only devote ourselves to him, but man, I look at that and he said, listen, what they have, and if they're not using it, that even that's going to be stripped away from them. I don't want anything that the Lord's given me to be stripped away from me because I was a bad steward with it. God's given us ability. God, I want to be a good pastor because God's given me that gift and my ability. And if I forsake that, if I just relegate it, or if I don't do anything to allow that to grow in my life, I don't want to lose that. Not because of the title, but because I love doing this. I love being pastor. I love serving the Lord in that area and that the ability that God's given me. But we want to devote it completely to Him. And I know we read this passage last week, but I wanted to read it again because I think it's so very fitting, even when it comes to this aspect in this area of our life. And it's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Guys, don't allow yourself to be a slave to your finances. Your finances are a blessing from the Lord, but do not be a slave to them. Don't allow yourself to be a slave to time. Allow time to be a slave to you. Don't allow your abilities and your talents and your resources to make you a slave to it. No, you say, no, this is the abilities, this is what God's given me, and it will be a slave not only to me but to the Father, because my desire is to offer my life as a living sacrifice before Him. We place the goal and our aim of honoring God. And if we keep that at the forefront of our minds, if we keep that before us, then it will begin to change everything. If our aim and our goal is to honor and obey God, we will allow God to work in our lives in all of those areas.
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.